I'll start off by reading from Isaiah chapter 2, from verse 2. It says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we are seeing a prophecy, one of the famous ancient prophecies of Isaiah concerning the last days. The last days. Of course, we know by now the last days does not refer to, you know, what people term the end of the world. Any man who is awakening to truth, any man upon whom the light of God shines, already enters into the last days. The last days speak about a transition from the old creation into the new. See, from the old Adam man, who is corrupt, who is annihilated from the life of God, back into the second Adam, which is Christ, who is one with God. Praise God. Now everything has gone bad, everything has gone awry, everything goes, you know, how do I put it? Completely negative, simply because man left that union he had with God from the beginning. The wars we see today in this world, the tribulation, the pain that all men go through, simply because all men have strayed away from God. All men have strayed away from God in the great transgression. See, but God is speaking about deliverance now. God wants to restore man back to that place of glory. Praise God. So you see, the Bible says that in the last days upon, you know, the mountain, the house of the Lord shall be established upon the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. All nations that seek healing, all nations that seek deliverance, all nations that seek a lifting up will flow to that mountain to receive of the words of the Lord. Every man who enters into this new dispensation of life and glory in Christ will be taught of God. This is what the prophecy says. Every man has to ascend up this mountain and begin to receive the precious words of the Lord. Let the Lord teach you. John says the anointing, the inner anointing in you, which is the Spirit of God in you, will teach you all things. See, in the past we learned from men. In the past we were edified by men. But now the time has come to be edified by the Spirit of God. And we know that Spirit is none other than Christ, who speaks the mind of God. See, the word says that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. God wants to substitute our ways for His ways. With His ways, our thoughts with His thoughts, so that we can live once more in eternal delight, deliverance. Praise God. And God is able. The book of Obadiah is a small book, one of the small prophets, lesser prophets, like people call them. But Obadiah prophesied very much the same things that we see all over the other prophets. Obadiah says that, you see, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Deliverance. See, the work of God is to deliver man. See, deliver man. Deliver man from the shackles and chains of hell and death. To deliver man from that, the shackles of, you know, the bondages to corruption. Hallelujah. We're going to see something very interesting today. It's a story that many of us know very well. It's a story of the man of the gatherings, or the man from the gatherers. This was an insane man. I quickly go to the book of Luke chapter 8. It was an insane man that encountered Jesus during the days of Jesus' ministry. And right there in that encounter, God intends by the Spirit to pass a very precious nugget unto us. See, this was a man who was totally insane. He was mad. And of course, he was in that condition for a long time. Many had tried to bring this man back to his senses. By now, we know that the testimony of Jesus is simply prophetic. The things that Jesus Christ did thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago, are prophetic things. It represents the workings of the Spirit, the eternal workings of the Spirit in our individual lives. See, when Jesus Christ went around healing the blind, see, to raising the dead, healing the sick, in reality, all these are allegories that point to you and I, the workings of the eternal Spirit to deliver man and cause him to enter into the perfect day of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that nothing clean, unclean, nothing that defiles or makes a lie can find its way through the gates of the New Jerusalem. It's impossible. It's impossible to find anything that is unclean, unpure, imperfected, to find its way through the gates of the New Jerusalem into life. So how can people get into life? How can people enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God? See, there is a purging. See, there is a regeneration. There is a transformation that is going forth in the minds of men as they hear the voice of the Spirit in these days. See, the greater deliverance that the Lord does in our lives is not just, you know, casting out physical demons from men. You know, I started off as a deliverance minister, and you know, you pray for people fall down under the anointing, you cast out devils, you know, get out, leave that person. See, and we've encountered cases. Yes, we've seen cases. We've seen a lot of cases where people got relief, momentary relief. People were delivered, yokes were broken. We saw these things. But how come months after, weeks after, years after, these same people still go back for deliverance? How come these same people still have to be prayed for by every prophet or every pastor that comes in town, into town? See, whenever a new man of God comes in, a new man who is reigning, you go there and they have to still perform this same deliverance to you. Why? Something is wrong somewhere. See, so God is now teaching us what true deliverance is and how we can obtain deliverance. How can a man be totally free, see it, from the corruption and the darkness that is in this world? How can a man shower upon the house, the mountains of God, free from a sin consciousness, free from guilt? This is what this message is all about. See, if we read the deliverance that we see here from this madman of the gatherings, we see the great work of God in our lives, individually and corporately. Hallelujah. God is a God that is out here to bring about sanity in his body. And with God, I tell you, all things are possible. No matter the condition a man finds himself, no matter the bondages the man finds himself, all that he needs to do is to sit down and submit to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go quickly to the book of Luke, chapter 8. I'm going to start off from verse, 26. Jesus Christ had just calmed the raging sea in the earlier verses of the book of Luke, chapter 8. He had just crossed over from one side of the sea to the other side, and he encountered a very wild, violent, turbulent wave that really rocked their boat. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he stilled the water. See, he commanded the waters to do what? To be still, and they were still. He calmed the raging sea. Praise God. And the Lord is calming the raging seas in our lives today. And he's teaching us how he's going to calm the raging seas. Because immediately he comes to the other side of the river, he meets this madman of the gatherings. And let's see what happens here. Verse 26, Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the gatherings, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. That means this man was naked, an insane man, naked. He had been possessed with devils, with demons for a very long time. And the Bible says that he abode, that means he dwelt among tombs. He dwelt in the graveyards. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 28. When he saw Jesus, as this insane man, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains, in fetters, and he broke the bands, and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. See, that means this man, the demons that possessed this man were so powerful that even though the people around would normally put this man in shackles, in chains, he was so violent and strong that the devil would break these chains and will drive this man into the spirit, into the wilderness. See, the wilderness talks of a place of unbelief, a place of, where it is impossible for man to survive. See, it's a place where men perish and die of. See, it in torments, where cactus grows, where you have the serpents, the venomous animals, scorpions, owls, freaks. That is the realm of the wilderness. So this man was oftentimes driven into the wilderness by these wild spirits. And let us see what Jesus Christ does here. You see it, verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said legion, because many demons were entered into him, and they sought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And they that fed them saw what was done. They fled and went and told it in the city and the country. Praise God. Then they went out to see what was done, and came and to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Praise God. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils were healed. Let's stop here right now. I just want us to see something important, because here we are seeing the eternal workings of the Spirit today. See, Jesus Christ represents the Spirit. Hallelujah. Very, very important truths locked up here. Hallelujah. Now we see a madman who is naked. Three things I just want us to notice about this man. The man was insane. He was insane. And when you are insane, you are what? Out of your mind. When you are insane, you are out of your mind. So he was possessed with many demons called legion. Praise God. Hallelujah. And another thing to note is that he was naked. All these are keys that we can use to understand the mind of God, and the understand the workings of deliverance that God is performing in his church today. He was naked. Praise God. What else now? He dwelt among tombs. That's the man of the gatherings. He dwelt among tombs. Hallelujah. And they tried to change this man for many years, but it never worked. Praise God. Now God has a message here, because in reality, that insane man of the gatherings is a spiritual allegory of man in his fallen state. God is using this message here to teach us how a man can be restored back into his lost glory. Praise God. We know very clearly that from the word, nakedness was first mentioned in the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 3, when man transgressed against God. Praise God. The Bible says that Adam was in the garden of God. He never knew there was anything like nakedness. There was no such thing as nakedness when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He was clothed in the glory of God. Covered in the glory of God means covered in the consciousness of the glory of God, so that there was no self-knowledge, nothing. There was no sin consciousness. There was no sense of unworthiness, nothing like that whatsoever. Adam lived life to the fullest because he had his being in God. He walked in God. Praise God. everything was in God. Everything was holy. Everything was perfect. There was no such thing as sin. There was no such thing as a guilty conscience. All these things came about when man transgressed. See, and how does the transgression come about? When man begins to be edified by the spirit of this age. Remember that there were two trees in the garden. Two trees. See, you had the tree of what? Of life, isn't it? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise God. These two trees represent, you can put it as two spirits, two different types of spirit. See, or two different types of sources from which a man can feed from. The tree of life represents the spirit. Praise God. It represents the spirit. Christ is that tree of life. Christ is the spirit. It means that as long as Adam was being nourished and edified by the spirit of the spirit, that is the spirit of Christ, which is purely spirit, he would have, there was no occasion of him to know or feel anything like nakedness. He was to continue on in the glory of God. But what happened along the line is that Adam took on the other tree, which represents flesh and blood, which represents the spirit of this age, which is the spirit, the natural carnal mind. Adam became carnal. Adam left the heights of God. He left his celestial state in God and descended. He received from the serpent below of the dust. Praise God. And the moment he did that, he lost out of the glory of the Lord. He lost out of everything that God is. Amen. And the Bible says that, you know, he exchanged the glory of God, which he was. Adam was the glory of God. Adam is the glory of God in truth. But he lost out on that because he exchanged the glory of God, you know, with that for the image of the beast, of the natural man, of the carnal, of the terrestrial. Adam became a natural man. Adam became one who walks in relation to time and space. One who, who walks in relation to a dimension that is not of God. A lowly dimension. So Adam became carnal, and along with the carnality came corruption. And along with the corruption comes the guilt, the loss, the sin consciousness, and all the things that men suffer today. As a result of this, man today is annihilated from the life of God. See, man has a lustful nature because as a result of the source from which he is energized, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I said is all one with flesh and blood, man has become a creature of lust. He has put on the evil eye. See it. And when you see the things that are in man, Jesus Christ says, the things that are in man, jealousy, lust, isn't it? Hate, murders, all this is a result of the carnal mind of God, of man. Man had become a terrestrial being. And he had lost out of the celestial, perfect attribute of the Son of God. So you see those legions, the demons, the multitude of the demons that possess this man, represent the foul spirits, the spirits of unbelief. See, all the indoctrinations, beliefs, carnal beliefs of this age that simply annihilate man from his glory in God. Hallelujah. So God wants to restore man back. That is why the Son of God is being revealed in this hour. Praise God. The Son of God is being revealed in us in this hour to deliver man. The Bible says that he was, you know, revealed from heaven to destroy the works of the devil. The work of the devil is that molding, that natural man, that terrestrial man, that man with a sense of belonging to this world. That is the work of the devil, and it must be destroyed. Praise God. So you see, the legion, unclean spirits, are present. Man talks of the legions of imperfection within man. See, and no man can approach God in this way. So there must be deliverance. Praise God. We know that if we do not have the mind of Christ, we are insane. Praise God. You know the prodigal son became insane? The Bible says that when the prodigal son came back to the father, before he returned to the father, the Bible says he came back to himself. Meaning he came back to his senses. All along while he was there among the pigs, in the realm of the pigs, he was insane. He lost his mind. He lost the true mind, the true celestial mind, the true celestial consciousness, which is Christ consciousness, which is the mind of Christ. See, and you know, God wants to restore that mind back to every man, so that man can live once more, recognizing that I am the Father that I want, so that man can live once more in the presence of God. See, along the line, man has put on the mind of the swine. You see, the swine represents carnality, it represents that which is earthly and terrestrial. And I tell you, we are not terrestrial creatures. We are celestial creatures. See, we are of the Spirit. We originate from the Spirit, and that is our dimension. We are not terrestrial creatures. See, so you see, that's why you see the pigs, the swine was mentioned there. The swine and the tombs. The tombs, when you talk of the graveyard and the tombs, you know what that means. The graveyard and the tomb talks of where people are buried, the realm of the dead. Now, if this insane man was among the tombs, it means that he was in the realm of what? Of the dead. He had his dwelling among the tombs. And you better believe this, man. This whole world is a graveyard. The dwellings of men who are ignorant of truth is likened to the tombs, the graveyards. See, the systems of religion, the systems of men, all the wisdom of men is all derived from the tombyards, from the graveyards. The whole world is one big cemetery, all where men are dead. But I tell you, the hour is coming where God begins to send forth his Spirit and his word, and I tell you, those who are in their graves will begin to hear the voice of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. This man of gatherings was lucky to encounter Christ. His day of deliverance had come. Hallelujah. The day of deliverance of this man who had walked around naked for so long in shame. A man who could not be cured by men. A man who men had tried all means to tame, but they could not. Because he would break the chains with which he was tied. A violent spirit. See, how many times have you tried to solve your problems? Your human problems? The problems of men using the methods of this world, it will not work. Forget it. Religion cannot solve your problems. Trying to bring up your children religiously will not make them religious. It will not make them 1 inch perfect. You only make them 7 times sons of hell. Praise God. The only thing that can perfect man, the only thing that can bring about true deliverance and bring man back to his right senses and restore sanity to man and to restore the clothing and the glory of man. That clothing is the lost glory, is the covering. So that man can once more approach God and say, Father, Hallel, Abba Father. The only means this can be done is as a man recognizes Christ the Spirit and submits to that Spirit. Praise God. Every man must come out into the still place, into the quiet. See, there are very, very few people there where this man received his deliverance. See, he came face to face with the Son of God. He came face to face with the truth. He came face to face with the image of the only begotten of God. And I tell you, when any man stands before that image and beholds that image, that man must definitely be transformed into that same image. Because like a consuming fire, the presence of God emanating from Christ will always consume anything that is not God in man. All we need to do is to patiently submit ourselves and allow the workings of God in us. It is very, very interesting to note that when this man was delivered, he was found at the foot of Jesus, seated, clothed in his right senses. Now this is symbolic, because being seated at the feet of Jesus means that he was being taught of Jesus. Isn't it? It means that he was being what? Taught of Jesus. Normally the rabbi, the guru, will be the one to stand and teach, and the disciples will sit down and listen. So the disciple was at the feet of Jesus. Amen. He was at the feet of Jesus, meaning that he was in a position receiving guidance and counseling from Christ. It was only him and Christ in that place. Hallelujah. We have to come to the place where we realize that there is only him. Besides him, there is what? No other one. Hallelujah. I tell you, what will he teach you? He will teach you of the mysteries of yourself. He will teach you of the grace of God, the righteousness of God without works. He will teach you and remind you of the heartbeat of the God towards you, because it is the pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom. See, he will restore your spirituality. Praise God. If any man submits to Christ and Christ becomes the head, he means that that man has put on a spiritual head. Being seated at the feet of Jesus means that this man had become, Christ had become the head of this particular person. Jesus Christ once said one thing. He says, any disciple that is well instructed, well taught, will become like his master. Do you believe that? Any man that is well taught of Christ will become like Christ. Any man that is able to submit himself patiently and allow the Spirit of God take over will walk the way he walked. Because in reality, that the way he is the way we are. Praise God. So this is the deliverance work that God is doing today. Hallelujah. Let this man that was in Christ be in you. He's restoring our sanity by, you know, causing us to rediscover our true senses. Because in reality, we are not carnal. In reality, we are not terrestrial beings. We are celestial beings. We are spiritual beings. Hallelujah. We are from heaven, from where? From above. Praise God. God wants to bring us back to that state. See, and lift every man out of the realm of the tombs out of the realm of the swine. See what happened to the swine? The swine were at the feet of the mountain. The Bible says that the unclean spirit entered into the swine. These demons that possessed this man who was delivered, this spirit entered into the swine, and the swine ran down a steep slope and were choked in the sea there. See, the swines went down a slope into the sea, into the depths of the sea, and they were choked. They died there. Hallelujah. I tell you, the sea is symbolic of the bottomless pit. See, it's symbolic of the abyss. Hallelujah. Those pigs represent carnality. Every thought, every carnality in us is cast into the deep, into the sea, into the bottomless pit, and destroyed forever. Because that same sea is also consumed by the glory of God. Praise God. So you can see that the problem of a man is not without. See, your problem is not somebody who divorced you or somebody who did something to you. Because if a man can discover the glory that he truly is, nothing, I repeat, nothing can affect him from without. Praise God. Means that which we use to try to solve our problems cannot work. You can only get reprieve for a moment. See it. Medical assistance, laying of hands, spiritual assistance, help from men can only be for a moment. You see that the men had tried to tame this man, tried to put this man in order for many years, they could not. They've spent a lot of resources going here and there trying to solve the problem, but they cannot. For a moment it might look seem to work, but before you know it, he's off again. The only way a man can get healed is to submit to Christ, the eternal spirit, and begin to, in silence, listen to the voice of truth. He will teach you all things. The inner anointing will teach you all things. Hallelujah. In silence, wherever you are, listen to the spirit. Even as you hear the message today, be quiet, be still, and listen to the spirit in you speaking. It's the spirit in you that can bring the deliverance. And when I say deliverance, permanent deliverance, perfect deliverance, not a deliverance that you go there to, today you are off, you are today you are whole, tomorrow you are, no. He brings you back into the perfection that you are from the foundation of the world, because God created you to be his glory. Hallelujah. When you begin to fellowship with the Spirit of God in silence, in communion, in prayers, in meditation, day and night, he begins to restore your sanity. Your glory is restored. The shame of your nakedness is covered. And once more, you begin to discover that you have a family in heaven. One of the accounts of this deliverance, I think in Matthew or Mark, shows that this man actually had a family. This same man that had no home, had no family, he was destitute, alone among the tombs in the wilderness places. Suddenly at the end, we discover that he has a family. Praise God. Those of us who are suffering from pain, emotional pain, distress, who feel rejected, dejected, cast out, maltreated, I tell you the truth. Sit down and listen to the word of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit work in you, and you will discover that you have an eternal family in the heavens. You will discover that you are loved. You are among the beloved. Praise God. You will discover that you are not alone. Hallelujah. And you become a glory and a spectacle. People shall come to see the work that the Lord has done in you. I tell you, if you go to the book of the last verses in Luke concerning the gatherings, Luke chapter 8, verse 35. No, let's go down now, sorry. Verse 37. No, I'm going to start from verse 38. Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him. Now Jesus Christ was about to depart the scene. We know the multitudes from Gadarenes told Jesus to leave, because they were afraid of Jesus. They were tormented by his power and by his presence. And look at what they told Jesus to leave. And while Jesus was leaving, this is what happens. The man whom he just delivered wanted to follow Jesus. Now let's see what happens here. Now the man out of whom the disciples were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. Praise God. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Praise God. Now you can see that this man, who had been a source of ridicule, a source of concern, had now become a disciple of Christ, declaring the glory of God. I tell you, the only way a man can declare the glory of God is to manifest it. Amen. It's only when they see the perfection that is in you. See, the perfection, the light that's in you, that they can truly say that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. This is the end of every man who has allowed the Spirit of God minister to him. Hallelujah. God is able to calm the raging seas in our life. This same man that was tossed to and fro violently by the influences of demons, of forces within him, had now come to the place of perfect stillness and glory and power. This is the work of God in us today, the deliverance of the Spirit. This is the hour that every man should begin to submit to the Spirit, submit to Christ, and live. God bless you.